Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Wednesday, February 8th, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues for our weekly Lunch and Learn. And today we are going to be talking about Shirat Miriam, Miriam's song. We'll touch on a number of different aspects of the text that describes Miriam's song. So in the Tanakh that you have, we are going to be in Shemot, chapter 15, Exodus 15, verse 20, Pasuk 20, which is on page 146.
146?
Yeah, 146. Okay, so it's actually a very, very brief description of Miriam's song, which is one of the aspects of it that raises some interesting questions. So let's just look at the text real quick to get a sense of what we're going to be studying. Vatikach Miriam ha-Neviya achot Aharon et ha-tof biyada vatetsena kol ha-nashim achareha bitupim uvimicholot. Uvimicholot. Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her in dance with timbrels. Vatan lahem Miriam. Miriam chanted for them. Shiru lahem kigoga, sus v'rachvo ramavayam. Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. And that's it. That's all we have of the song of Miriam. If you flip back, if you flip back to page 144, then you have all of what we call Shirat Hayam, right? The song that Bnei Yisrael sang. And at the beginning of that, it says, "Az Yashir Moshe uvnei Yisrael at Hashira Hazot Hashem." Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. So, was there one song? Are there two songs? What's Moshe's role? What's Miriam's role? Those are some of the questions that we could ask. And furthermore, the next phrase is on page 144 of the Shirat Hayam that the Torah talks that we have in the beginning of this chapter. It says, "Ashira LaHashem ki go ga'a sus v'rachvo ramavayan." I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. And that is very similar to what Miriam says, right? Miriam says, sing to the Lord. And Moshe says, I will sing to the Lord. So the fact that those are very similar may lead us to, again, to believe that maybe this is just one song, or maybe not. So we'll have to see. And we had some other questions, but first, Marilyn, you have a question?
I'm not sure if this is relevant, but I just struck me when it said Miriam, Aaron's sister. Mm. Why doesn't it say Moshe's sister?
Excellent. Okay, that's the first thing we're going to talk about, is the way that Miriam is described, the way that she's introduced to us here, as not only as Aaron's sister, but also as Hanivia, right, as a prophetess. Why? Many of the commentaries wonder, why isn't Miriam also described as Moshe's sister?
Actually, we always related that Shirat Miriam. So here, it's Moshe. So who is she?
No, the next is Shirat Miriam. On the next page, Vatikach Miriam HaNeviya, the first text that we read on 146, Vatan, verse 20 and verse 21, that's Shirat Miriam. But it seems very short. It's just one verse. Right?
That's not the way we look at it.
Right. When we say the word Shirat Miriam, we assume there's going to be a whole long poem or song, but it's not there. Right. It's not there at all. So that's we have to talk about that a little bit. Right. Exactly. Okay. So first, let's talk about the way that Miriam is introduced to us. She's introduced to us again as Aaron's sister. So first of all, it's interesting to know that now she's no longer anonymous. If you go back to the second chapter of Exodus. Right, keep your finger on page 146 while you flip back to Exodus Shemot Perek Bet. Right, Perek Bet, verse 4, we read, "And his sister stationed herself at a distance to learn what would befall him." This is when Moshe, page 114. This is when Moshe is put into the basket, right? And so it says his sister, right? Here she is anonymous. We don't get her name. And it continues in verse 7. Where it says, "Vatomer achoto el bat paro," then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, and again in this whole section, right, it does not, we are not told her name. And finally here, right, she's no longer anonymous. She's given, her name is said, and she's given two titles. She's a prophetess, and she is Aaron's sister, as opposed to Aaron and Moshe's sister. So when it comes to the prophetess, let's figure this out. Where is Miriam's prophecy? Where do we have the fact that she is a prophet? Well, it's not on that. Well, that's a good question. Okay, so we definitely have a midrash that answers the question. On page 1 of your source sheet, I did not mark this off, but in the sort of middle section where there's a line separating the two sides, on the right side, the third entry where it says Miriam Hanivia, Resh Lamed Aleph, Miriam Hanivia. Okay? Okay, it says as follows: V'chi heichan matzinu shenit nav'et Miriam. Where do we find that Miriam was a prophetess, that she prophesied? Ela she'amra la'aviha, rather she said to her father, Sofcha she'ata, I think it's supposed to be, molid ben, shehu omeid u'moshia et Yisrael miyad Mitzrayim. You, dad, are going to father a child that is going to rise up and save the Jewish people from Egyptian bondage.
So she was older.
Miyad, right away what happened. Vayelech ish mi beit Levi, vayikach vatahar ha'isha. Let's go back now to page 114 in the text. A little background here. Right after Paro had given the decree that all the baby boys are going to be thrown into the Nile, right, we're told, one midrash tells us that this is already after that Aaron and Miriam had been born, that that the parents, right, they separate from each other. They figure we're not going to have any more children because what's the use of having children? If it's a boy, that Paro's going to kill the boy. And Miriam says, well, you're worse than Paro. Paro only wants to kill the boys. Your decision not to have to separate from mom and not have any more children means there won't be any more girls either. You're worse than Paro. And not only that, this midrash adds, I know, because I'm a prophet, well, maybe she didn't say that, but I know that you're going to have a son. And that son's going to survive Paro's decree. And is going to be the one that saves the Jewish people. That's what the Midrash is referring to here in on page 114 at the beginning of chapter 2. Vayelech ish mi beit Levi, vayikach et bat Levi. A certain man of the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And that's Moshe, even though Aaron and Miriam had already been born, right? So what does it mean? If Aaron and Miriam had already been born, what does it mean that he went and took a wife? Weren't they already married? Well, yeah, they were, but they had separated because of Paro's decree, and so Miriam Hanivi. That now we know why Miriam is called Miriam Hanaviyah, right? She is the one who says you have to get back to your father. This is what the Gemara. I'll read you the Gemara Masechet Megillah says.
Yeah, but which, it's not here.
No, it's a midrash. Correct, right? The Midrash says, first the Midrash lists the seven prophetesses, Sarah, Miriam, Deborah, Chana, Abigail, Huldah, and Esther. Miriam, the Gemara says, Miriam dechtivai tikach Miriam hanaviyah achot Aaron, and Miriam, the prophetess, of the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. Okay, velo achot Moshe. Now this is connected. Now we're going to get to the first answer to your question, Marilyn. The fact that the Torah calls her a prophet is connected to also why she's introduced as Aaron's brother, a sister, and not Moshe's sister. Because when was she a Navi? Before Moshe was born. So when she was a Navi, she was not Moshe's sister. Moshe wasn't alive. So when she did this, when she gave this prophecy, right? The Torah is telling us she was a prophet. When was she a prophet? She was a one-hit wonder, right? She only had one prophecy. When was she a prophet? She was a prophet before Moshe was born. She was prophesizing his birth, but he wasn't alive yet. So when she was a prophet, she was not Moshe's sister. That's what the Gemara says. Vatikach Miriam hanevi'ah achot Aaron. Miriam, Aaron's sister, took the timbrel. So the Gemara asked the very same question that you asked. V'lo achot Moshe. Wasn't she also Moshe's sister? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav. So Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav, Shaita mitnaba kishihi achot Aaron. She prophesied when she was a sister of Aaron, right? In her youth, before Moshe was born. V'omeret, and she said, Atida imi shetileid ben sheyoshiat Yisrael. My mother is destined to bear a son who will deliver the Jewish people to salvation. Uvishasha nolad nitmalei kol abayit kulo ora. And when the time that Moshe was born, the entire house was filled with light. Amar avia v'nashka al rosha. Her father stood up and kissed her on the head. Amar la biti nitkaima nevuatech. He kissed his daughter on the head and said, my daughter, your prophecy has been fulfilled. So that's one answer to the question, is that the reason why the Torah introduces her as Aaron's sister and not Moshe's sister is because it's also introducing her as a prophet. And she was only a prophet when she was Aaron's sister and not Moshe's sister. That's one suggestion. Any other suggestions?
How old was she at the time?
We don't know.
She might have been a stepsister to Moses.
All right. That's right. What's that?
I said she might have been a stepsister to Moses, because if you read it, you know, a certain man of the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman, and then it sounds like Moses is their first child. So
right. That's why the rabbis sort of want to fill in the backstory and say, no, it's not their first child. It's
right,
their first child of their second marriage.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So Miriam and Aaron might be brother and sister. Moses might be a stepbrother, same father.
Right, but so I think the rabbis are saying, the rabbis are trying to avoid that.
Okay.
When they
said
they separated.
Correct. That's
later on,
right.
It says in the next,
she is called his brother in the text, Achota, which is the biblical word for sister.
Okay.
But maybe it also could be used for
half-sister. Because it also says a few lines later, so the girl went and called the child's mother, not her mother.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
The child's mother.
Right, interesting.
Referring to
Moses. So maybe the rabbis want to avoid that literal reading. Yeah, that's a very good point. Okay.
When they said they separated, they just not live together, or they divorced and had to remarry?
It's unclear. It's unclear. It's unclear. You know, what was marriage then? What was marriage then anyway? Marriage then was just living together and having kids. There was no chuppah, kiddushin, smorgasbord, caterer, florist, photographer.
Lucky for us, Aaron was not a Kohen in this time. Otherwise, he would
not. Right. Okay. Okay. So, any other suggestion as to why he's only introduced as Aaron's sister, or not? There are other possibilities. Any other suggestions? Another suggestion is mentioned by Samson Raphael Hirsch on page 3 of your text.
Who's there? Your text or your sheets?
Of your sheets, yeah. Okay. He says the following, where it says number 1 on page 3. Aaron's sister, amongst the women, she occupied the position that Aaron held amongst the men, meaning she's introduced as Aaron's sister because she's Aaron's equal. And what was Aaron's job? As Aaron spread amongst the men the word that was revealed to Moses, so did Miriam amongst the women. Right? So she was, the hierarchy of leadership was as follows. On top of the pyramid was Moshe. Then coming down was Aaron and Miriam. They were equals, and their job was to then spread the word of whatever Moshe was saying to everybody else. So Aaron spoke to the men, and Miriam spoke to the women. So she's introduced here as Aaron's sister because she's Aaron's equivalent. She's not introduced as Moshe's sister because she's not his equivalent. In here, we're not talking about a family situation. We're more talking about the hierarchy of leadership, right? The leadership chart.
So Aaron is not introduced as Miriam's brother.
Ah, that's true. That's a very good point. There's another suggestion, which is very interesting, because what it does is it reminds us that understanding the general culture in biblical times could also take a question which seems very difficult and give us a very simple answer. Right? Why? How could it be? Why is Miriam introduced here as our own son? What about Moshe? So we have a midrashic answer. We have an answer which is maybe not so satisfying considering that Aaron's introduced. So the Rashbam says the following. He says that there was a practice in this period of time, in biblical time, that the younger daughter was known as the sister of the firstborn male in the family. That's how she's known. Whose sister are you? I'm the sister of the firstborn male. And in fact, there's a study of this called fratriarchy, right? Fratriarchy or fratriarchy in the Old Testament, right? This notion in the JPS commentary of the Chumash, he writes, behind this phenomenon may lie the well-documented Near Eastern social institution known as fratriarchy, in which, in certain circumstances, authority is invested in the eldest brother. Right? And we know Aaron's the one who becomes the Kohen, right? The Kohen Gadol. So on some level, even though Moshe is the Moshiach, Moshe is the one that saves the Jewish people, Aaron and Aaron's line ultimately are the ones who have the highest position, not Moshe's line. So that could explain why she's introduced as Aaron's brother, because that's the way it was done. That's just the way people were introduced. So we have this question, which seems very bothersome and very troubling. But if you study other Near Eastern literary examples, you also will find this phenomenon. And the conclusion is that's just the way it was.
Do we know if Aaron was older or she was older, and would she be his sister, whether she was the eldest or the youngest?
He was older.
She was older.
Okay, but let's say if she was older, would she still be known as Aaron's sister?
That's a good question. Not sure.
You said the eldest son.
Yeah.
But he could be the eldest son, but not
right,
be the first born.
Right. Yes. Could be. Yes.
And, maybe Torah tried to tell us Ichas. From a different
No, right, but so why would that help? Why would you leave out Moshe if you want to give us Yichus?
This exactly Yichus not to elevate, Yichus to bring to Aaron's side.
To what? To help Aaron, to give Aaron a little bit more. Right. Very good. That brings us to one final suggestion in the Midrash. Back on page one, a couple of more explanations of this. You want to raise up Aaron. Good. Okay. So if you look where I've noted number one on page one, Achot Aharon,
sister.
Right. V'halo Achot Shnehem Haita. Wasn't she the sister of both of them? What is the Torah trying to teach us by telling us that she was Aaron's sister. Ela lefishan atan nafsho al achoto nikret al shemo. Aaron stood up for her, and in some level risked himself for Miriam's benefit, and so since he did that, he is the one who's sort of credited with being her brother. Now, where did that happen? Where do we know? Is there an example where Aaron sort of stuck his neck out and tried to help Miriam?
When she was talking about wife of Moshe.
Right, and then what happened to her?
Well,
right?
She was punished.
Turn to page 600, no, I'm sorry, turn to page 310 in your Tanakh, right? At one point, Miriam and Aaron speak badly about Moshe, about his Moshe, regarding his wife.
What did they have against
him? Right? Well, that's unclear, too. When we get to that Parsha, well, maybe we'll talk about that, right? And so she's stricken with leprosy, right? And what happens? If you look in the Psukim, Aaron steps up here. He says as follows, in verse 11, Vayomer Aaron al Moshe, bi Adoni al na tashet alenu chatat asher na'anu v'asher chatanu, al na ti kamet asher b'tzeito mirecha mimo v'yachel chatzi b'saro. Vayitzak Moshe al Hashem le'mor el narafan Allah. So Miriam is stricken with leprosy. When Aaron turned toward Miriam, he saw that she was stricken with scales. And Aaron said to Moshe, "Oh, my Lord, account not to us the sin which we committed in our folly. Let her not be as one dead who emerges from his mother's womb with half his flesh eaten away." Right, so he steps in and tries to save Miriam, or to heal Miriam, convinces Moshe to, who then goes ahead and prays for her. But since he's the one who initiates this this attempt to save Miriam from punishment, he is listed as she's listed as his brother and not also Moshe's brother. So it's an opportunity to sort of lift up Aaron. And another suggestion, the final suggestion, which is along the same lines, is by the Ramban. The Ramban explains as follows, the Ramban explains that Miriam and Moshe are mentioned in conjunction with the Song of the Sea, right? Az Yasir Moshe and Vatan Miriam, and poor Aaron is left out with no connection to the Song of the Sea, so the Torah puts him in here too, right? Vatan Miriam, Achot Aaron. So they all three have their names listed in connection to the celebration of. So it's another suggestion that's trying to lift up Aaron, which is a very nice lesson in and of itself, right? The Torah is recognized. Now, by the way, what's interesting is this defense of Miriam by Aaron regarding the leprosy happens later.
Yeah.
So the Torah is foreshadowing, right, or anticipating that this, or foreshadowing for us. You could also argue Ein Mukdam Muchar B'Torah if you want to do that and say that sometimes the stories in the Torah, sometimes they're out of order and maybe this happened, but at this point, I don't think you have to do that. You could say the Torah is foreshadowing what Aaron's good character in trying to help his sister. So those are a bunch of the different answers. Well done, Marilyn, for thinking of the question, right? Because as you can tell, Rashi is bothered by it. The Ramban, the Rashbam, right? A lot of people are bothered by this. By the way, I didn't share you. By the way, it's Rashi who quotes the Gemara that we started with, right? Rashi quotes the Gemara that says she's called the prophetess Aaron's sister because when she prophesied that one time, she wasn't Moshe's sister. Now, that's the most straightforward answer. Although I like the Rashbam and this notion of fratriarchy, if that's the right pronunciation, because it's a very simple and elegant answer to the question. That's just the way people refer to this. That's the way women were referred to often in those times. Maybe until they got married, they were referred to as sister of so-and-so. Okay, so now we have to get to our other question. which is what was going on with this song, right? What's the status of the song? Okay? So it sounds, right, at first it sounds like, as Shula mentioned, that there's no song, right? Shh, hello? It sounds like there's no song, right? That that all we have is a very short little two-sentence statement by Miriam, and we're missing the full song. And in fact, that's what a number of commentaries say, right?
But even the two lines are from Moshe.
So right. They seem right. So a number of commentaries say that they do not envision a substantial difference between the song of Moshe and the song of Miriam. Some suggest that Miriam led the women in a repetition of the entire song of Moshe after the men have finished. Which actually, if you read the pasuk, that makes sense. You start on page 114. You have all of Moshe's song, with presumably he said a verse and then the men said a verse. 144, I'm sorry. He said a verse, the men said a verse. He said a verse, the men said a verse. Then you turn to page 146. Miriam says, now it's our turn, right? But the Torah doesn't go through the whole song again. This is sort of like, Shiru Lashem Ki Ga'aga Sus Rahur Yam, etc. Right? We're not going to go through the whole thing again. Sometimes the Torah is very repetition.
It's
very repetitive. But here, the Torah is basically giving us a hint, right? Here's what happened. Moshe said it and the men said it, then Miriam said it and the women said it. Okay, we have the whole song. What did the women say? Flip back a page. They said the same thing that the men said. And that actually is somewhat consistent with what we said earlier, because Miriam was the women's leader. We said before, right? Aaron and Miriam were equal. In this case, Moshe, the chief, the top level head, led the Jewish people in song. Who was going to do it for the women?
Miriam.
Okay, so all she right? was a great dancer, but that's not her song.
It's not her song, correct. Right. According to these interpretations, it's not her song. You're 100% correct. There is a midrash, which we could maybe see it viewed a little differently, and that midrash is on page 4 of the material that I've given you. Number 1. Vatan lahem Miriam. Magid hakatuv shekeshem she'amar Moshe shira la'anashim. Just like Moshe sang a song or led the men in song, kach amra Miriam shira la'anashim. The women, Miriam led the women in a song. Now, there are two ways to read this midrash, right? One is, she led them in the same song that Moshe led the men in. Or, there was her own song, and we don't have all of it. We have a piece of it. Or this was the whole song. It was one verse. It was a short song, right? Could be a short song, right? So you have a midrash that seems to indicate that they recited an entire song, whether it's the entire song that Moshe sang or a different song, that's unclear. By the way, a very careful read of this word of verse 21, I don't want to give it away, but a very careful read of verse 21 may actually support the first interpretation, that Miriam repeated what Moshe said. And how would you see that from reading verse 21?
Responded.
Which word? Vata'an. What does Vata'an mean? She answered. She responded. What did she respond to? Whatever Moshe said, she said. And the women said. Vata'an may be understood as an unoriginal composition by Miriam. Right? Our English doesn't really give us that. The English that we have, right, Vatan is here, Miriam chanted. That's already an interpretation, right? A more literal translation would be, and Miriam responded, right? Responded, okay? In fact, if you look at on page 4, right, there's a midrash that tries to view Vatan differently, right? We had a midrash that says maybe Miriam did something on her own. She didn't simply respond to what Moshe was doing. But that's difficult to defend based on the word Vatan. But comes along the midrash and says, wait a second, this is number 3. On the left side of page 4. Vatan, yesh aniya shehu rosh hadibur. Sometimes this word, Vatan, or aniya, answering, or is not answering, is the beginning of a statement, not a response to another statement. Ukimo vata'anina hanashim hamesachakot, and that's in Shmuel Aleph. Vayan Iyov, vehem lashon kriya velo lashon aniya. That's an original statement, right? So here the Midrash is giving us a lesson in biblical Hebrew. You moderns know the word vatan means to respond, but in biblical Hebrew, sometimes that word is used to indicate an original statement, not in response to something that has already been said. So we have these two views of Miriam, right? On the one hand, we could view her as being it's such an interesting issue to look at, right? On the one hand, she can be viewed as joining in with the crowd, right? All the men are saying something, and Miriam is going to say the same thing and bring everyone along. On the other hand, another way to look at it is Miriam is offering her own, as a leader, right? She's offering her own unique take on what happened, and the women are following her. And, you know, I think both of them have merit. You know, if you want, the women may have a very different feeling of how they want to express their salvation as opposed to how the men want to express their salvation. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, there's value to being part of a unified prayer experience, right? So I think it's an interesting dichotomy to look at. But here the Midrash is saying, don't be so quick to assume just because the Torah uses the word vatan that Miriam is repeating what was said. V'ulashon kriya v'lulashon aniya shebizman she'achat matchelet v'kulan onot hu vatan. When someone begins and everyone else answers, it's also. So she began and everyone else answered. We have another grammatical problem in this pasuk, if that's true, which is, besides Vatan, which we may have said, if you're assuming Vatan means Miriam said to the women, then we have a problem, another grammatical problem.
Lahen.
Lahen, and not Lahen. Yeah. The second verse should be to them with a nun at the end, right, which is to them a group of women, yeah, as opposed to Lahem, which is a group of men.
Everybody.
Men or mixed, mm-hmm, right? Exactly. The commentaries deal with that also. We'll see that, and then I'll take your question. Midrash number 2. Lahen hayat tzarich lomar. Page number 4. The Midrash labeled number 2. Vatan lahem. Lahen hayat tzarich lomar. It should say lahen. Amru hamilachim lahakadosh baruch hu. What happened? The angel said to God, Ribono shel olam, Master of the universe, im hektimunu hanashim lomar shira, takdimunu hanashim? Right? If the men are starting to say a song, is it proper for the women to also start a song, like to maybe to interrupt them? Vatan lahem Miriam. Anashim sharu tchila v'achar kach Miriam. So it sounds like it's almost saying that Miriam was also trying to get into the action at the same time as Moshe was. But at the end, what happened? Vatan lahem Miriam anashim sharu tchila v'achar kach nashim. This midrash makes it sound like Miriam led the men and women in a separate song. So you had Moshe leading everyone, and then Miriam leading everyone, which is another interesting. So, you know, what really happened? I guess after 120, when we get there, someone's going to have to ask Miriam what really happened, right? But this midrash puts another option. And Hirsch, which I gave you also, also notes this problem, page 3. Vatan, as the following lahem, this is note number 2 that I wrote there, as the following lahem is masculine, This lahem can refer to Moses and Israel, and anah have its ordinary meaning of replying, rejoining. Moses and Israel sang, Miriam and the women responded. But we do find anah also at the beginning of speeches, like the Midrash said. So so Hirsch wants to say Miriam responded with them, lahem, or to them, everybody. Or the Midrash would seem to indicate, if you want to put two Midrashim together, that Miriam created her own composition and sang it to everyone. But here we have this nice these two nice points. One is that Aaron is lifted up, right? The Torah is concerned that Aaron, who may be living in Moshe's shadow, and even in this case in Miriam's shadow, is not disrespected. So he's lifted up by being listed as the brother. As making sure he's listed in the Shira, and this other notion that Miriam either right decided to join in to the full festivities and have one joyous occasion together, or she may have felt that the women needed their own way to express their gratitude, and she sort of, after Moshe's group was finished, she came along and sang again. Either it was a very short song, or it was the same song, or we don't have the song. Those are all, I think, various options.
Rabbi, just a comment. But historically, we do say that this is Miriam's song. It means if we just take as a lakmus proof that
what we call
really happened.
What does the Amcha say?
We as a people really answer this by calling this portion Miriam's song.
Right. Good point. And by the way, there is an interesting parallel. We'll stop with this. If you look at Shmuel Aleph, Samuel 1, chapter 18, which is on page 612. So this is when David and Shaul and Yonatan are still basically getting along with each other before Shaul tries to kill David. So David goes out to fight against the Pelishtim. And what happens in verse 6? Vayehi bivoam bishuv David me'akot et ha-Pelishti. When the troops came home and David returned from killing the Philistine, Vatetzena hanashim mikol arei Yisrael lashir v'hamicholot likrat Shaul hamelech betupim besimcha uveshalishim. The women of all the towns of Israel came out singing and dancing to greet King Saul with timbrels, shouting, and sistrums. Some other type of... unclear what type of instrument that is, right? So here we have a similar thing, right? Here, David and the troops are coming back from battle, and the women come out to greet them and to praise them. And in the Shirat Miriam, essentially, the Jews are coming also out of a battle. The difference is that in this battle, God did all the fighting, right? By swallowing everyone up in the sea, by swallowing all the Egyptians in the sea. And so they come out, in this case, not to greet man as the victor, but to greet God as the victor. But there are real similarities. There are real similarities here in terms of the language. You have in our verse, Vatetzena, and in this verse, in Shmuel Aleph, you have Vatetzena, Kol Hanashim, Vatetzena. In our verse, you have Vatetzena, Kol Hanashim, and in Shmuel Aleph, Vatetzena Hanashim. And in this, they have Bitupim Michalot. And here also, you have Michalot and Tupim. That's too similar to ignore. Right? So it seems that we have some examples, precedent or examples in the Torah, where when there's a military victory, the women came out and did their own thing, which would support one of the versions that we're talking about, that the women, keeping with that tradition, came out to greet the victor. Who was the victor? God was the victor in this case. Who was the victor in Shmuel Aleph? The army, right? But in both cases, they come out with same languages used, with the same instruments. So I think that also is an important aspect here. Okay, was there a... Yeah.
Here, the men don't do that.
Right, because they're the victors. Because they're the victors. They're the victors. Right, exactly.
But only the women are victors.
Right, because the men are not going, they're not coming back to praise themselves. They are coming back.
They're having a song too.
Right.
At the same time. And it right. says, but ta anena, whom do they answer, or is it a statement?
Where? Where?
Sukshema.
Ah, right, right. Ah, that's it. So maybe that's another example of Vatan is not an answer. It's an original. Ah, excellent, right. Excellent. Very good. Good point. Okay, that's a great note to end on. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, Roberto.